mendengar pertanyaan yang sama dimanapun aku berada. Tiada habisnya.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news. Deputy Minister of Trade Diaroro Esti has called on business communities from both Indonesia and South Korea to fully utilize the Indonesia-Korea Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. She said that we encourage all the business communities to take advantage, full advantage of the Indonesia-Korea, we should say Indonesia-Korea SIPA, she said while delivering her remarks at the Korea-Indonesia Economic Partnership Forum in Jakarta on Tuesday. Indonesia and France are exploring opportunities to broaden their bilateral ties with a special focus on strategic cooperation in higher and vocational education. Indonesia's Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Brian Yuliarto, and French Ambassador to Indonesia, Fabien Penone, discussed bilateral relations during a meeting at Yuliarto's office in Jakarta on Monday. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners, we are already on the second hours, I would say, on the morning session of Indonesia today. I'm glad to have you here with me. Don't forget to follow us and also contact us on our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram and TikTok, VOI_official, email voilisteners@gmail.com. And don't forget, we also have a WhatsApp on +62 821 2381 2130, +62 821 2381 2130. How are you, VOI listeners? Now it's already a bit crowded and busy in Indonesia because it's already the working hours and all the students are already in class. But if I'm not mistaken, it's already a holiday season, so a lot of students are already at home, maybe listening to this broadcast. Glad to have you here, kids. And now I'm going to play you an iconic song from Kahitna entitled Untukku. I played this yesterday and I played this again today because I really like this song and I think you would love it too.
Di saat engkau di sana, kadang langit terasa gelapnya. Kemana langkahku pergi, selalu ada bayangmu. Ku yakin makna nurani, kau takkan pernah terganti. Saat lautan kau seberangi, janganlah ragu bersaung. Ku percaya hati kecilku, kau takkan berpaling. walau ke ujung dunia, pasti akan ku nanti. Meski ke tujuh samudra, pasti kau kan menunggu. Karena ku yakin kau hanya untukku. Saat lautan kau seberangi, janganlah ragu bersahut. Ku yakin masa berani, kau takkan pernah terganti. Pandanglah bintang berpijar, kau tak pernah tersembunyi. Di mana engkau berada, di sana cintaku. Walau ke ujung dunia, pasti akan ku nanti. Meski ke tujuh samudra, pasti ku kan menunggu. Karena ku yakin kau hanya untukku. Karena ku yakin kau hanya untukku, hanya untukku. Di saat engkau di sana, kadang langit terasa gelapnya, namun bintang kan tunjukkan hidupku pada dirinya. Walau ke ujung dunia,
pasti akan ku nanti.
Meski ke tujuh samudra,
of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Ku tanamkan hatiku tumbuh bersamamu. Hingga akhir masa hidupku, dengarlah kau dengar. Selama bumi berputar, ku tetap milikmu. Ku hidup.
Of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Tinggalkan saja semua persoalan, waktu kita sejenak untuk membebaskan pikiran. Dan biarkan terbang tinggi sampai melayang jauh menembus awan. Sementara tinggalkan semua aturan yang kadang terlalu mengikat dan tak beralasan. Man, memang benar miman, kita perlu cooling down dan melonggarkan pakaian.
Bebas, lepas, ku tinggalkan saja semua beban di hatiku. Melayang, 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 melayang. Bebas, lepas,
bagaikan anak kecil yang berlari bertanjang bebas. Keluarkan suara-suara canda tawa dan senyum puas. Berteman di siraman hujan di lapang yang luas. Tak gentar gelegar petir yang mengaum buas. Yang penting semua senang kawan sejak kehadiranmu. Bumi terkekeh riang, gadaku berdentang. Didi dom, degedegan daga digiduk, digidum. Saling berpandang, berpegangan tangan erat. Dan biarkan tubuh tersiram hujan yang lebat dan pekat. Di bawah naungan awanan gelap terkadang menyilaukan. Dikala kilat lewat, apakah kita kan selalu bersama-sama kawan? Apakah kita kan selalu berjalan beriringan? Masih di dalam lebatnya hujan kita berjalan bersamamu. Kita kan tebarkan senyuman. Anak kecil yang berlari bertanjang bebas. Keluarkan suara-suara canda tawa dan senyum puas. Berteman di siraman hujan di lapang yang luas. Tak gentar gelegar petir yang mengaum buas. Yang penting semua senang kawan sejak kehadiranmu. Bumi terkekeh riang, dadaku berdentang. Didi dom, degedegan daga digiduk, digidum. Saling berpandang, berpegangan tangan erat. Dan biarkan tubuh tersiram hujan yang lebat dan pekat. Di bawah naungan awanan gelap terkadang menyilaukan. Dikala kilat lewat, apakah kita kan selalu bersama-sama kawan? Apakah kita kan selalu berjalan beriringan? Masih di dalam lebatnya hujan kita berjalan bersamamu. Kita kan tebarkan senyuman.
Bebas by Iwaka. And now I'm gonna play you a VOA talk about preserving the ocean's economy with my colleague Rahma. Enjoy.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. VOI listeners and viewers, Indonesia is not only the largest archaeology country in the world, it is also host to the richest marine biodiversity in the world. What about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability? Let's find out more on today's VOI talk with Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri as the expert staff of ecology and ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries on today's VOI talk. Good morning, Pak Hendra. How are you today?
Good morning, Bu. Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing good as well. Thank you so much for joining us on VOI talk. And as I told our listeners before, today we're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability, especially after our ocean conferences that was hosted by Indonesia itself in 2018. Could you elaborate more about Indonesia's role?
Right. Thank you. First of all, thanks for Voice of Indonesia to invite me this important event and the Parbaya. I hope my voice is okay. Just get notification that I got unstable networking. Anyway, I like to continue that. So yes, it was in 2018, we host the Our ocean conference. This is like the first that it was in October, and our ocean conference is like a kind of like register our commitment and so forth. So this is a kind of like how to show that all the stakeholders, just like government, non-government organizations or communities, community organization as well, to raise the commitment for the oceans. And I guess compared to the list and then listen from what has been done in Busan last month regarding the Ocean Conference, there are some commitment that is already increased in numbers and also in terms of the amounts of the money for the commitment of the oceans. So I think for Indonesia, the roles after the Ocean Conference, we consist and then we commit to many kind of like measure for marine resources and also ocean governance. So I can give some, for example, for the MPA, for example, we have already commit for 30% by 2045. It will be like 97.5 million hectares for in 2045. And so far we have already achieved that like to 29.9 million hectares. So it is still big, big job. And then we all have already shifting our, the way we fisheries, our managing our fisheries from input control to the output control. So this is a kind of like our roles and after Ocean Conference, and we also commit and to for the how mainstreaming the oceans into the climate change. But in fact, we are also part of the high ambition for the coalition, the high ambition coalition for ocean and climate dialogue, and we also active in kind of like how to mainstream the roles of the ocean in the climate change. And so far, we have already, put our ocean in our national determined contribution. This is really a good document. I hope with some, for example, this is to show that our role after the Ocean Conference. Actually, is the timeline is not only 2009, but it was before that. We also conduct like in 2009. The Coral Reef Triangle Summit, and already produced what we call this Coral Triangle Initiative for Coral Reef Fisheries and Food Security, and we established the Secretariat in Manado, Indonesia. I hope this is kind of like example the way how our effort to contribute significantly to the regional and global process of sustainable oceans. Thank you.
Yeah, so actually long way before 2018, Indonesia has played its significant role. And when it comes to the 10th Our Ocean Conference in Busan, South Korea, that was just held, one of commitments conveyed in the conference is that concerning sustainable marine management through the Blue Economy Program and then Marine Spatial Zoning Regulation. Can you explain us how it's going on?
Yeah, this is one of the commitment, one of six commitment that is already announced during the Our Ocean Conference. So this is our commitment how to make sure that all the activities in the oceans and coastal areas is will be planned in ahead. So mean that should be hand in hand together any kind of activities. So that's why this is important, the roles of marine spatial planning. So we still have some tasks need to be done. That's why we announced our commitment to finalize that. And hopefully that it will be, all the Indonesian territory will be, has a good mapping and also good planning in terms of doing that. So yeah, this is our commitment for make sure that we will manage our ocean and coastal in sustainable way, and also in with a good planning.
Okay, from blue economy, we move to blue carbon, specifically Blue Carbon Network and database, where Indonesia has been initiating this effort, strengthening collaboration and cooperation in international forums. So how's the collaboration and cooperation that is meant here?
Can you elaborate more? What do you mean by database? Do you mean the database for secrets?
Yes, well, formulating blue carbon management policies to guidelines for calculating its value.
Right. Let me see that. First, I would like to explain about the blue carbon. Blue carbon is like, this is the terminology we use for the ecosystem that in coastal areas that contribute for, to mitigate or mitigation action for the climate change, as well as for the adaptation. So the blue carbon ecosystem consists such as like mangrove, seagrass, meadow, idle marsh, and some of that, any kind of like, now is there is ongoing discussions about the seaweed, for example. But this is kind of like the ecosystem that Indonesia contribute for the mangrove, for example, is like 70% of the globally. This mangrove seagrass meadow will be 11%. We in Indonesia, especially for the mangrove, are things more advanced compared to the seagrass. So in mangrove, mangrove and seagrass, we follow the guideline from the IPCC guideline, which is they call the IPCC guideline, supplement of IPCC guideline for mangrove and for coastal or wetland ecosystem. So again, in negotiation process or the terminology that we use in IPCC or the UNFCCC, the blue carbon, we use like coastal wetland ecosystem. So the ecosystem that have in wetland, so they can contribute, to prevent the community from disasters and also contribute to reduce the gas emissions. But importantly, they consist of the rich carbon, especially from the below ground or in the soil, like a mangrove or the seagrass, for example. So we have for the mangrove, we have like database. For the seagrass, we are developing right now. The mapping is also in the process. Hopefully, we'll be launching very soon. We targeted, or we can, we have complete seagrass mapping in this year. Thank you.
Okay. And Moving on to international efforts to ensure ocean health and wealth that were gaining momentum actually before COVID-19 hits. One of them is a sustainable development goal or SDG 14 on life below water. But is it true there is setback to realize it? If it is, why and how's the solution?
I can say it's not setback, but we still have faced some challenges. There are some factors that contribute to some challenges. For example, that we still have overfishing or overfishing. So if you follow the our ministry website or our ministry social media, so I guess every week we catch the illegal fishing from neighboring countries. So this is a challenge, I think, and we still have like a marine pollution, for example, and of course the habitat destructions. I cannot say this is not a setback, but the challenges we have to overcome, and then we need to how to make sure that it will be we can reduce these challenges. And of course, one of the big challenges, I guess, for the SDG is about the financing. So funding is really important. So that's why if you compare that, how our capacity for financing and compared to the required budget for like, for example, for like conserving or managing resources, I think is we are far beyond that. So this we need enhance the capacity, and also we need to make it awareness to all the stakeholders how to address a kind of life. I think
well, listeners, seems like we are facing some technical problem here with today's VOI talk, but we keep trying to continue our VOI talk with today's guest, Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri, expert staff of ecology and ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. We're talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability. And while trying to reconnect with today's special guest on our VOI talk, what about enjoying a song? And then we'll be back shortly.
Keep going.
Thank you for still joining us on today's VOI Talk, talking about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability with today's special guest, expert staff of ecology and ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries, Bapak Hendra Yusron Siri. Bapak Hendra, thank you for still joining us. So sorry for the technical inconvenience. So previously, we confirmed that the Sustainable Development Goal, or SDG 14 on life below water, doesn't really face a setback, but a challenge instead. Yeah. And you also mentioned before about illegal fishing. And based on data that we have here from Indonesia's National Commission on Stock Assessments in 2017, showing that nearly half of the nation's wild fish stocks were overfished partly due to illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing, leading to an estimated loss of $4 billion annually. So how's the progress of securing Indonesian ocean to prevent illegal, unregulated, and unreported, or IUU, fishing nowadays?
I can respond this by having some examples. So the, I would like starting that ministry is really strongest commitment to reduce the IUU fishing, because this is one of like that make our economies worse. And you see that we conduct not only from national, also regional and international wise. We in AU, we also, you know, report that. And then some country that catch in our water is already get the yellow card from the European Union. So I think we conduct physical surveillance by our ships. So, you know, KKP, our ministry has several, surveillance vessel. And we just, last week in Natuna, the North Natuna seas, we already catch some illegal fishing. And we have already prevent the loss of our economic point of view. I think it's more than like a billion. So, for example, right now, and we strengthen our monitoring, control, and surveillance MCS Indonesia. And in our ministry, we have the common centers, so we can track the vessel that catch in our territory. So this is important. We apply the regulation. All the ship above the 30 gross tonnage should be equipped by the vessel monitoring system. This is how we monitor the ship. It's not only for the government, but for the owner, this is benefit, so they can track their vessel. So the VMS, we can track that. And if there is anomaly action, such as like they switch off the VMS, we can track them. And we can by machine learning or by our analysis, we can predict whether this is can be transshipment or can be like illegal fishing or enter in conservation areas. So we strengthen our monitoring system. And Indonesia, also in the ministry, we also host the secretariat, what we call this National Plan of Action Against IUU Fishing, Regional Plan of Action Promote Responsible Fishing Practice, including combating IUU fishing, RPOA IUU, the secretariat in our DG of surveillance. And we also working together with like our neighboring countries through the mechanism what we call the CTICF, Coral Triangle Initiative for Coral Reef Fisheries and Food Security. And we have also, of course, in regulatory, we have already, promote the what we call this fisheries-based quota management. This is like we try to balance, normally the area that, contain resources cannot get the economic benefit. That's why we force, the system should be they have to be landed in the area that have resources. So give like economic, you know, economic trickle down effect to the area. So this is very important. And we conduct the international cooperation for such as like the countries, and then we have already apply what we call this port state measures. This is the FAO system. And we also promote the community involvement through POKWASMAS, Kelompok Pengawas Masyarakat. This is a community surveillance system. And of course, we try to, you know, part of the against transnational criminal networks. And I guess IAU is already, you know, labeling as a transnational crime. So that's why we committed to reduce that. So I think I would like to highlight this into this. We don't want to go to the controversial vessel fishing policies right now. So because we try to, you know, if there are some illegal fishing, for example, so we try to maximize the vessel that we catch into the, for example, for education, for universities, for example, or for the communities that can be benefit more instead of to sinking and then will be, you know, not really really good for the environment as well. Yeah. Back to you.
Okay. And now, back in February 2024, we're talking about a project identification mission mark the commencement of Indonesia Coral Bond Initiative, which focuses on national and provincial marine protected areas in Raja Ampat and Alor and also Savu Sea. Is the project still going? And what have been achieved through this program, Pak Hendra?
Yes, in fact, we are not starting yet. We are in the process for negotiating with the World Bank. So this is the first. Let me, if you may allow that, let me share that my. You cannot see that my screen, right?
So, yeah. Yes, we can see it.
Yeah, this is the way we do it, because protecting coral reef in Indonesia is projected like 37 billion economic benefit by. This is a study from the UNEP. So that's why Indonesia is launching the Indonesia Coral Bonds. So this innovative financing, this is the non-loan or non-debt instruments. And this is a non-sovereign bond. Means that we don't have any obligation to return back the, you know, how to attract the fund for this bond. That's why we collaborate with the World Bank, IUCN, BNP Paribas, the banking, and also GF. In Indonesia, we work together with Bappenas, closely together with Bappenas, and also Indonesia Environmental Health Fund. So Indonesia Coral Bond, hopefully, actually, this is like 5 years, but as it's slightly, is still in the negotiation process. But again, they can be like outcome-based financing instrument. It's linked with a specific target. And also will be issued by the World Bank, and the principle, because World Bank has the, in term of the, you know, capital market, World Bank is a AAA balance sheet, means that a very reputable institution to issue the bonds. And this will provide funding to the marine protected areas, and there will be funding provided by investor and occupiers. And we're using the MPA IUCN Green List as the one of the our example. So yeah, this is you mentioned about our target specific. There will be three MPA in Raja Ampat, because Raja Ampat consists of our national marine protected areas and also local protected area, and also I want to share, and then signing the agreement very soon. We are on the last stage of the finalization of our agreement with the World Bank. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the detailed elaboration. I wish I could dig deeper, but now we move to another important issue, which is marine plastic debris, in which the government of Indonesia has committed to reducing 70% of Indonesia's marine plastic debris by 2025 and to become a plastic solution free by 2040. So how is it going on the achievement so far, and who are involved in this effort?
I think previously we the ministry part of what we call this National Plan of Action for reducing marine pollution, marine plastic to the sea, and now with the new structures of the government, so that will be coordinated by coordinating Ministry of Food Affairs. And we have already, discussions and also regulation meeting, coordinating meeting, for example. And we have target that. I think one of the big problem for the marine plastic or marine pollution is coming from the upstream. So we need to tackle the upstreams. You know, how we reduce and how we recycle, and then how can we reuse that? And then also the important things is like how to make sure that we separate. Separation is the key step, the key important step to reduce and to minimize the garbage. So because you can find all the thing in the seas. So the sea is not a big garbage bin, but we need to reduce that by having good practice and then good behavior. So separate which one is will be like the organic waste and also unorganic waste, and can be organic waste will be like can be recycled, can be reused and usable, and also can be we can promote it. And we also promote what we call this circular economy to do that. In Indonesia, for example, ministry, we work together with the fishermen because one of our blue economy policy is how to minimize the plastic waste. So this is kind of like the activities that we go together with the fishermen, and we conduct what they call the seaman, one love seaman, so Vulancinta Laut. So the idea is like we don't want to the numbers not increase, but we want to reduce that by having like since beginning. Now in our fishing port, we also apply each fishing vessel should be listed their plastic or content plastic material before fishing, and then have to report back to them to the fishing port after the fishing. So if they are plastic is not will be traced back to the sea, there will be some punishment later on to the fishing vessel. So yes, so this is kind of like how we our strategy to reduce plastic for especially from the activities that related to the marine and fisheries. Thank you.
Okay, hope this strategy is are running well so far and meet the target. Okay, Pak Hendra, final statement please that you would like to convey to our listeners, our Indonesian and international listeners about Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean sustainability, and how can people contribute to preserve global ocean sustainability?
Right. First, I would like to mention here, Indonesia is a big country. We 1,504 islands, and we are the second longest, coastline in the world. And our marine resources contribute to regulated, the world climates. So this is how the importance of Indonesian marine and coastal. That's why Indonesia is like for mangrove, for example, we contribute almost 1/5 of our mangrove, and also seagrass, like 1/10 of our the contribution of to the, our seagrass. So this is to show that the importance of Indonesia coastal areas, especially and the for the future of the ocean. So if we if we, you know, if you don't want to, if we don't guard the ocean will be, you know, will be sacrificed, will be degraded. And if the ocean degraded, that means that the world will be degraded as well. So let's work together for guarding the oceans, because the ocean is like, you know, the all the resources coming from the oceans. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Pahendra Yusran Siri, Expert Staff of Ecology and Ocean of the Indonesian Ministry of Marine and Fisheries. Let's keep going hand in hand to preserve global ocean sustainability. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Thank you.
Well, listeners, that's today's VOI talk on Indonesia's role in preserving global ocean and sustainability. Hope it gives you more insights and information about Indonesia's role and about global ocean sustainability itself. Joining us in another interesting and insightful talks on VOI talk from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
In remote areas, our search. In urban areas, I was thrown away for no reason. Have you ever thought that I'm what a tree needs to live? I am what animals need to reproduce. I am what humans need to survive. Yes, I am water. Save me so that the earth and its content can continue to be sustainable.
Fajar Merkah.
Karang Hawu Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of cliffs jutting into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holidays in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karang Hawu Beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karang Hawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove, so this beach is named Karang Hawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliffs that jut into the sea is Nyai Rorokidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karang Hawu Beach. The view of the high seas until the big waves hitting the rocks is a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo, so you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves, or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine, is a fun activity on this beach.